Is there any prayers this morning? As we consider a few things the Lord laid on our heart. I thank the Lord for the Word of God. I find that every time I have a need, every time I have a problem, every time I have a question, every time that I'm tempted, that I can turn to the Word of God and I can get the strength and the help and the direction that I need. I'd like to talk about something this morning, desire your prayers, that every one of us was born with. We've dealt with it ever since we was a little toddler. And that is curiosity. Curiosity. We're all very curious creatures, aren't we? Very curious. We were born with a desire to know. Desire to know what is around us. The desire to know how something feels. The desire for more knowledge and for more understanding. But curiosity has misled men all through time. We all know what curiosity did to the cat, don't we? The old saying is curiosity killed the cat. Well, the cat's not the only thing that curiosity has killed over the years. We get curious about what something looks like. I know that they don't have them that I know of anymore, but back when I was younger, in the circus, in the days of the circus, they had sideshows, they called them. And they had have somebody standing outside of the tent and have a picture of a two-headed goat or a man with four eyes and all those kind of things. And they'd, if you paid your money, you could go in and see what it is they were promoting. And it got a lot, it made a lot of money because of curiosity. People were curious of what this thing, this creature was going to look like. We also wonder sometimes how things are going to feel. If I just try it, I'd like to know how it would feel. I'd like to know how it would work out. And that is a lot of times what bad relationships come from. Not out of love, but curiosity. Curiosity. Curiosity has caused man over the years to seek out new territories. We spent a lot of money on sending men to the moon and man up to the on into outer space. Man has explored the ocean out of curiosity. I just want to know what's there. I just want to know what I might find if I go that direction. You know, it all started back with our forefathers. The devil came along and he began to work with Eve's curiosity. And just a few words that he said to her, he got her to realize, or in her mind, that the tree looked pretty good. The tree that the Lord said to leave alone. And the devil said it would be good for food, and that was interesting to her. We all like to eat, don't we? Curious of what something tastes like. Curious of just what it would be for me. So the tree looked good to Eve for food. And by the time the devil began to work his wiles upon her and work on her curiosity, she found that the tree was kind of pleasant to look at. My guess is that before this, that she went about her day every day and did everything that God had created her to do, and didn't really pay that much attention to that tree because God said leave it alone, didn't he? But now when the enemy came along, he began to pique her curiosity. And he began to get her to look at the thing. And she began to say, oh, this tree's pleasant to look at. Well, when I see something and I see that it's pleasant to look at, that's icing on the cake, if I can say it that way. Something may look a little mundane, but in my mind and what draws to my affections and my attentions, and it's something that's pleasant to me to look at, that's icing on the cake. That makes me really want to try that out. Icing on the cake. The devil told her that it would make her wise, didn't he? Make her wise as God. You talk about whetting the appetite. The icing on the cake. Whenever someone looks at something and sees what it can do for them, it just piques their curiosity that much more. What can this do for me? How does this thing work? How would it feel if I just tried it one time? What would it taste like? And you know, ever since that time, the enemy has done that in the garden. Man has struggled with that all down through life. It's what got people in trouble so many times is curiosity. The truth is that curiosity and free choice that you and I have is very volatile. The fact that when I see something that makes me curious, that I might want to try or that I might want to partake of, and then God has given me free choice that if I want to do it, I can do it. There's no one that can stop me. There it is. And it looks good to me. The icing's on the cake. It's whetted my appetite. And now I can reach out and I can partake of it, even if it would be the wrong thing for me to do. Even if. God said leave it alone, didn't he? Do you know there are things that you and I deal with today in this world, in this life, that God said leave it alone. God tells you and I how to live and how to walk before him. He tells us that there is to be holiness in Mount Zion. He tells us that we are to live a holy, it says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, those things that are curious to me, I'd like to try it just one time, see what it's like. I can go back and I don't want to promote this, I don't want to glorify this in any way, but I can go back in my own life. When I was 20 years old and I was working at NCR. It's not there anymore. But I walked by that cigarette machine every day and my buddy and this guy and that guy was smoking and I thought, well, I'm kind of curious to see what it would be like. Those kind of things just draw us in. They reach out to the seat of our affections and they just draw it in. But you know, I was a very foolish young man. And I went over there and I looked at that machine. I still remember this, if I can digress for a minute. And I was looking at all those different cigarettes they had in there. And I noticed there was one in there. The pack was longer than the other ones. It was called Pall Mall. They didn't have any filters on them. Here I am, a young fellow that had never touched one of those things before. But I thought I would get more for my money. So I got it, they all cost the same. So I got me a pack of Pall Malls. I took a drag off of that thing and my head started spinning. I took another drag off of that thing. I remember this well. And I went and I sat down and I told my friend there, I said, are all cigarettes like this? Do all of them have this? Are they all this strong? And he said, you probably picked the strongest one in the machine. Well, I gave them to somebody or threw them away and I said, I'm going to try something else. And I kept trying. I was curious about this thing. And I was drawn in about those things. And I smoked for 16 years of my life that I wished I'd have never touched the things because I know what they've done to me. They affect you physically, and it takes a long time to get past that. But I use that as an example of what draws us in. The world is being drawn in by not just cigarettes, by the drugs, the marijuanas, the opium, and all the other things. I just try it out of curiosity. Just see, you know, it'll give you a good high. It'll make you feel good. Just try it. And curiosity says, yeah, I'd like to try that. Yeah, I think I'll try that. And the next thing you know, you get hooked on it. The next thing you know, whether you really want it or not, the body says, I want more of that. The body says now, the body begins to take control, see? And I want more of that. And I desire more of that. And it did make me feel good, and I want to feel good. I got something hard to face tomorrow, and so I'm going to go smoke a couple joints, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, because I just want to feel good when I get there. I want to be able to handle the situation when I get there. Don't understand. They don't see the underlying effect of it all. They don't see how it's drawing them in. They don't see how it's destroying their life. They don't see it. You and I sit back, we don't do those kind of things, and we look at people and say, why do you do those kind of things? We can see what it does. I can see what alcohol does to a family. I can see what it does to a home. I've seen furniture and lamps broken and things shred all over the living room because of the father coming home and totally drunk and ready to pass out and destroying everything before he passed out. I've seen what it'll do to the relationships of men and women. Curiosity. It'll take you, what's the song that they sang at Marner? Sin will take you farther than you really want to go. Folks, ain't nobody has to sing me that song. Ain't nobody has to tell me that. I've experienced it firsthand. Sad to say, I know what sin will do. But folks, that's how it all starts, is because you're curious about something. I'm curious about something. I'd like to read a scripture found over in Genesis, the 11th chapter. Lord help us this morning. Genesis, the 11th chapter. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. I notice right here that it's all about me. It's all about us. I don't see any reckoning here of God and what he required and what he desired. God didn't ask him to do this. They took this upon themselves to do these things. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You know, God and his great wisdom and understanding, you know, he made us out of dust. And he knows how corrupt dust is. And he knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. So God intervened for these people there. And he come down and he said that now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Anything that piqued their curiosity, anything that they saw that looked good to them, anything that made them feel good, they would reach out to those things. And God said, now there's nothing. Whatever they imagine in their mind, there's nothing that they won't reach out to do. He said, go to, let us go down. And there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. One more verse. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Curiosity. We're going to make a name for ourselves. Folks, I don't see that a whole lot has changed in the day that I live in. People wanting to make a name for themselves. Nations. People that are inventing, reaching out for new things. People seeking after the things because they're curious of how it works. They're curious of what it will do. Our government here today is trying to learn how to harness the power that we really have and how to use it wisely. But they are so curious about these other people that are out there and people threatening this nation right here, and they're curious of just how they are to go about it, and they get alone, they get their wise people, and they get the people that are in government, and they try to decide and understand on their own way just how to go about dealing with those kind of things. Folks, you and I have a curiosity, and it needs government. It's got to be governed. I would have to say that God, in His wisdom, made us with a great capacity to increase our knowledge. He did that. There's nothing wrong with getting understanding. The Bible tells us to get it. But with understanding, get wisdom. We always, people, it's our nature. You always want more. This satisfied me. I want more. That wasn't enough. I want more. The only thing that you and I ought to want more of, folks, is Jesus Christ. The only thing that we ought to want more is His Spirit indwelling within us, that we can have power to live right here in this world above sin and bring our curiosity, our mind, our wandering minds under control and under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit, that God can guide us and direct us and keep us from the elements of this world. He didn't pray the Lord would take us from the world, but He said, keep us from the things that are in the world. We need that today. We need that. I'm going to say that again. The truth is that curiosity and free choice is very volatile. It seems like it's like putting gasoline upon the fire. When the two come together, and we see something and the feeling rises up within me. I know. I've been there. And it rises up within me, and I want that so bad it's impossible for the flesh to control that. Thus we have what we have in the world that we live in today. Our responsibility, yours and mine, is to exercise prudence and good judgment to regulate this curiosity that we have. You're all curious. Every one of us is curious. And we need the Lord to help us. Because, folks, this is the only place that we're going to have success in living for God. And God demands that you and I have government over this thing we call curiosity. These things and desires that we want to know. I just want to know. I remember one time I was a millwright and I was working in the shop building a picture frame, we called them, out of angle iron. You make a picture frame whatever size you want, maybe 4 foot wide and 8 foot long. And then eventually you'd weld some legs on it, and the tenors would cut some sheet metal, and you'd put a sheet metal and make a table out of it. I remember one time working in the shop, and the welder had just finished welding up my picture frame for me that I was making. And it was laying there on the table, and another millwright come walking in the shop. He hadn't seen it. He went over there and he looked at it. He picked it up and put it down right now. I said, kind of hot, wasn't it? Oh, no, he said, it just doesn't take me very long to see what a picture frame looks like. It's kind of hot, wasn't it? Kind of curious, but he didn't see the redness there, see? The redness had kind of went away, but it was still hot, and it burnt him immediately. Folks, that is what curiosity will do. We don't really see all the underlying things, and if we reach out and grab a hold of it like Eve did, it'll hurt us. It'll burn us. Guard your curiosity. Now let's get down to the meat of this by the help of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We beseech you, brethren, see, I'm talking to us this morning, not the world, but I'm talking to us, the church. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of curious. I've talked about it with other people. You probably have too. You know, it just looks like, we say to one another, it just looks like the way things are developing, it surely won't be long for the Lord to come. How long, how much longer can he be patient? How much longer is he going to look at all this things that are going on in the world? And how patient and tolerant is he going to be? Surely it won't be long. And I'm kind of curious about it. But it'll not be revealed to me, and it'll not be revealed to you. And Jesus said himself, he didn't know the day or the hour. But he said, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. That's all I want to read of that verse. Let no man deceive you by any means. You and I pretty much have learned that when something is presented to us, sounds good, it looks good, and excites our flesh, that it may not be very good for us. We kind of learned that. You know, you can dress things up to make them look good, but you don't change the thing that's inside of it. As they say out there in politics, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig, isn't it? You and I have learned. Lord, if we haven't, Lord, help us to learn this lesson, because it's very important, that when something is presented to us, now I'm talking about someone that is trying to present truth that is in error. Because he's talking about a coming, a falling away, and let no man deceive you by any means. We live in a day of deception. We live in a time when the enemy is still playing on people's curiosity. Hey, you know, that sounds pretty good. I've seen people follow that in my day and go following other people where it sounded pretty good, and when they died, they didn't know whether they were saved or not. It's dangerous to play around with the truth, folks. Very dangerous. Let me give you a classic example of someone playing around, trifling with God. Poor old Samson. Samson is a classic example, folks. He probably had his choice of any one of the young ladies there in his, among his own people. His father even told him that. But Samson, no, he goes on out down to where the Philistines are, and he finds this little lass down there, and his eye reached out, and she looked good. She looked real good to him. And his dad said, why can't you just find someone right here among us? I want her, Dad. That's what Samson told him. I want her. Why? Kind of curious, wasn't he? Wonder what it would be like to reach out to someone down there that's not among us, that's a little different. She's a little different, maybe a little more worldly than the ones that are among us. But I want her. She looked good to him. Folks, maybe it made him feel good. Makes me feel good. She makes me feel good. And this is, I'm not talking, I don't want you to think about women here or a woman or a man. Folks, I want you to think about the things that the devil will use to test you, to test your curiosity. It makes you feel good and it looks good. Folks, it might have made him feel good and it might have looked good to him, but I want to tell you, we know the end of the story. It cost him his life, didn't it? Because he was trifling with God. He was a man. When he was born, he was given to God and he was supposed to be a leader of the people. And he was supposed to be a man of God, and yet he went out because he was curious. His curiosity killed him, if I can say it that way. He went down there and he found Delilah. And he got his eyes put out, didn't he? He trifled with her. But you know what? It wasn't her he was really trifling with. It was God. He really knew. His father told him what he should be doing. But I want something else. I'm curious about this. Just want to try it for a little while, Dad. Just want to try it a little while. Folks, you get out there and try something for a little while. It can come back to bite you. It can change your very life. It can change the way you think. Let no man deceive you by any means. He was a classic example, wasn't he? He found out what sin will do. He found out what disobedience will do. When he disobeyed his father, disobeyed what he had been born to, he was a Nazarite unto God, and he was supposed to be a leader of the people, and he was a judge over Israel. But folks, he was not a very successful judge. He went out and he killed a lot of his enemies, but at the end of it all, when he killed the more than he had ever killed his whole life, his own life went out of here too. Because of the way he'd lived it. Curiosity. Lord, help us today. Be careful of guarding your curiosity. It says in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Can you see it? Eve couldn't see it. When the devil was talking to her, he hid, all those things were hid from her. The working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they receive not a love of the truth that they might be saved. I'm asking the Lord to help me to love the truth. To love it with all my heart. To be diligent in following all that I know and understand and what He reveals to me through His Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Do you know God's done that before? He did that to Ahab, didn't he? When those prophets went out there and stood before the Lord, and one of them said, I'll go back and I'll deceive him. How are you going to do that? I'm going to tell him a lie. And he's going to believe it. Ahab in his own life, his curiosity with his wife. What was his wife's name? Jezebel. His curiosity with his wife, already living, married to a woman that God said to leave alone. She was a heathen woman and God told him not to marry her. And yet he not only married her, but he began to listen to her and he followed her desires and tore down all the altars of God and built up altars to her gods and began to worship her gods. And God sent strong delusion and he believed a lie. What did it cost him? It cost him his life. The true prophet said, if you go at all, it'll not be because I told you to go. God says, don't go out there to Ramoth Gilead and fight those people. This prophet said, I'll be a lying spirit unto him. And he believed it. Folks, we've got to guard this precious truth that you and I have. We got to guard it. No matter how curious, no matter how good that someone makes something else look, we've got to be on our guard and we've got to stay with the truth regardless of how someone may make something else look. We got to stay with it. We can't follow those things. And then he went on to say that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Lord, help us. Actually had pleasure in doing unrighteous things. That's where it'll take you. I know, I can tell you from firsthand experience, that's what it'll do. It'll take you out and you begin to do unrighteous things. What we have today, what we have, is so valuable. And the devil knows it. I want you to know that the truth is valuable. And the devil knows it. May God help you and I to have a love for the truth. May God help you and I to be careful. Be on our guard for anyone that would try to lead us astray from the truth. God sends strong delusion, folks. You're deluded. When he sends strong delusion, you're deceived. And ain't no man going to change that. Only you, through your humbling of your heart and getting down before God and confessing your sin before God, that's the only way you're going to have any hope. When God sends strong delusion, you're deceived. Because you'll believe a lie and be damned. Lord, help us today. Samson believed a lie. And we could go through the Bible. And we could probably name people that we know in our lifetime that believed a lie. And were led astray. Led astray by false teaching and false doctrines. Which also presents false hope to anyone that takes that kind of a path. You may have a hope, but it's a false hope. Because the only thing that's going to save us is the truth. We're going to be judged by it. We're going to give an account of our lives by the truth. It's not what preacher so-and-so says. It's what the Word of God says. We're going to be judged by that. Let's look at another scripture found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. He says in verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Vanity, it's emptiness. It's futile. The vanity of their mind. I know young fellas today, I've heard them do it. They're my sons-in-laws. We've been together and somebody will ask a question about some kind of a sports thing. Oh, do you remember this? What was that fellow's name that did this and did that? And, you know, I don't have a clue what they're talking about. And next thing you know, one of them comes right up with it. Not only have their name, but it'll tell you who he played for and what he did and what he accomplished. It's all futile. It's emptiness. And people's minds and hearts are filled with emptiness today. But that's where their curiosity is. That's where their desire is. And those things have drawn them into that. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, I don't have enough time this afternoon or this almost afternoon, to even get into the depths of what that verse of Scripture says. But I'll tell you this, from own personal experience and what the Word of God says, vanity is futile. Empty-mindedness is futile. Be careful of where you allow your curiosity to go. You're going to learn things no matter where it goes. You're going to learn things. Be careful of what you learn. Be careful of what you retain. Be careful of what is important to you. All that stuff I was talking about, the sports stuff, that's nonsense. It doesn't benefit me at all. It ministers no grace to my soul. This world doesn't have things that can minister grace to my soul, folks. Be careful about walking in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened. You and I have been given talents. When the Lord saved us, He called us. We've been given gifts and talents that we are to contribute to the body of Christ. And it's important that we keep our minds and our hearts clear. It's important that we govern ourselves. I know there may be something out there tomorrow that you've seen for the first time and you're kind of curious to try it. And I'm not saying everything is wrong. When I go out there and I see someone that's got a different flavor of ice cream, I'm probably going to try it. I'm not saying it's everything's wrong, but I'm talking about guarding our souls today. Guarding our hearts. The Lord's given us something to contribute to one another. And you can rest assured that the devil wants to rob us from whatever the Lord's given us. He wants to rob us of that. Now he said the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You see what it does? It alienates you from the life of God. In other words, it saps out your spiritual strength. It takes away your spirituality. The unbelieving folks in the vanity of their mind causes all their efforts to obtain happiness. We all want to be happy. We're endeavoring to obtain happiness. But the vanity of the mind causes all of your efforts to obtain happiness to end in failure. Thus, Samson. He wanted to be happy. His curiosity drew him here, and it drew him there. And his affections got on this one, and the affections got on that one. And he kind of toyed with it, and he kind of played with it. And he was I want to be happy, it makes me feel good. But it ended in failure, didn't it? His life destroyed because he couldn't govern himself. Couldn't govern his spirit. Always reaching out, always curious. Understanding darkened. Folks, this will separate us from God. He says that. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. I know some folks think they know a lot. But when they open their mouth, I find out different. They don't know as much as they thought they did. They're good talkers. They know the right things to say. But they don't know the right way to live. They don't know what the right way to live because their understanding is darkened because of the blindness of their heart. Folks, you know what blindness of our hearts will bring? It'll bring a hardness. It'll bring a hardness. Now here comes the danger of it all. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. You say, Brother Larry, you don't really contribute all this to curiosity. Folks, curiosity will bring this about in your life. It'll bring this about in your heart. Who being past feeling. What does that mean? Past feeling. You know what a callus is? Any of you ever worked doing the same thing over for a little while, maybe gripping a hammer or whatever it might be, and build up a callus on your hand. I remember back in the years when I used to play the guitar a lot. Don't play it hardly at all anymore. But I remember I had to get calluses on the end of my finger so those strings wouldn't hurt when I would finger the keyboard. And you know what happened when I got those calluses on there? It was a thickening of the skin. And when I got the calluses on there, there wasn't any nerves in it. There wasn't any feelings there. And that's what the devil wants to do with you and I. Bring us to a place of callousness where there's no real feelings. That's what he said. Being past feeling, giving themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Becoming insensitive. What he's telling us here is that if we're not careful, we can become insensitive to right and wrong. To what is morally right and morally wrong. Whether we realize it or not, we live in this world and we are influenced by the things that are around us. We're influenced by how other people think and how they feel and what they try to impress upon us. We're influenced by those things. We cannot afford, I cannot afford to be insensitive to the things that are more to moral right or wrong. I've got to know in my heart that's right. That's sin. I still recognize that as sin. I can't help if the world accepts it. I can't help if a denomination accepts it. It's still sin. It's still in the Bible. It's still an abomination to God. I can't become insensitive to that, folks. I don't want him to send strong delusion to me that I believe a lie. But I want to keep my love for the truth. I want to keep my affection centered upon the things above. You know, it's amazing sometimes when you see a situation, how quickly things can go downhill in a conversation. I was at the gym the other day and three fellows were standing around in the pool, and I was sitting in a chair on the side. When I came out there, they said, "Hey, Larry," he said, "we need some wisdom here." He said, they said, one of them says, "Tell us, give us the right way to look at this." I said, "The right way to look at this?" I said, "Let me give you a word of wisdom. You need to talk about something else because you don't know what you're talking about. You don't even know what you're talking about. So if you really want some wisdom, talk about something you know what you're talking about." You know, people do that today. They talk about things. And why? Because we're curious. How do you see this? How do you feel about that? Folks, be careful where you get your answers to those kind of things. Be careful where you get your answers. Conversation going downhill fast. Adam and Eve. After they had partaken of the fruit, God comes along. He begins to question them. Right away, we set up our defense. Adam's defense was, "It's this woman you gave me. Okay, it's God's fault now. And it's a woman's fault, but I don't have any responsibility in it. It's their fault. It's your fault." God turns to Eve and he says, "What about you? What's your part in this?" And she says, "Well, God, it's that serpent that presented himself to me." So now it's still God's fault. Instead of Eve's fault, now it's the serpent's fault. And we pass, the blame game just keeps right on going there. And conversation just keeps right on going downhill. But it was curiosity that got her to partake of the fruit. When the devil finished getting her to look at that and desire that, and to make that fruit look good to her, it was her curiosity that brought her down. And it was curiosity that got pride lifted up in her heart, folks. Pride is something that is evil. It's wicked. And it's something that man and you and I have to fight against every day, that we don't get lifted up and exalted in our own hearts, in our own minds. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You know, their eyes were open, Adam and Eve, to their degraded state. But their eyes of understanding were closed. Their natural eyes were open now that they had partaken of what God told them not to partake of. But the eyes of their understanding were closed, so they couldn't see the sinfulness of sin. And at the same time, their hearts were hardened through its deceitfulness. I'm not taking responsibility here. God, if you hadn't given me that woman, and the woman says, God, if you hadn't sent that serpent along, it's all their fault, and I'm not taking responsibility. Folks, this is how people's hearts get hardened. I'm not responsible. People today don't want to take responsibility for their actions. It's getting worse and worse out there. They'll lie about it. One lie calls for another lie, and it progresses on from there. The hardness of their heart, the callousness, the insensitivity to sin and what sin really is, and being willing to take my responsibility for what I have done. They're not willing to do that. Neither was Adam and Eve. Yeah, people copy Adam and Eve today because they're not willing to take or to confess their own sins and their own guilt. They got too many excuses for reasons why. Adam and Eve had the excuses. It wasn't my fault. It was this. It was you and it was this. People still blaming God today. People still blaming God. You've heard it yourself. Well, if God was here, why did he let that person die? If God was really God and he was a God of love, why did he let that happen? He let his son die, didn't he? And I guarantee you, he loved his son. But he loved you and I, and that's why he let his son die, isn't it? Folks, Lord help us today. I want to turn on, kind of conclude this if I could. Hebrews, very familiar scripture. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Faith. I'm going to bring faith into this, my curiosity. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. This is really more of a description of what faith does, what it does for you and I. Not really what faith is so much as what it does for you and I. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we understand. Faith brings understanding. How does it do that? He said here, it's the substance of things hoped for. It's a description of what it does, and it provides substance for you and I. And once I have substance, it's something that I can lay my hat on, or hang my hat on, if you will, then I have now an assurance and something that promotes trust within my heart. Faith is the substance here of our life with God. And this is where you and I need to look with all of our curiosity, is to the eyes of faith. Whenever I have a substance, I have a foundation. Faith is a foundation, folks. And this is so important to me today, because I see faith is at a low ebb among us. I see people not able to trust God, trusting more in themselves. Oh, man, I heard a commercial on the radio the other day, a fellow from some church around here, and says, what do you have faith in? He said, have you heard that? Some people have faith in God. Some people have faith in their own abilities. I don't remember everything he said. Some people have faith in their golf game. And I'm saying, wow, where's this fella coming from? Is that what we're doing with faith? We're taking it down now and downsizing it and making it of no importance? Faith in your golf game? Come on. Faith in God, folks. When he said that, I told my wife, Jesus said, have faith in God. Not your own ability, not a golf game, but have faith in God. Oh my goodness, I can't believe what some people are doing today and what they're promoting. Faith is the substance. It's a foundation for me. My foundation is in God. It's not in a golf game. It's not in my ability. It's not in anything that you and I can do, folks. My faith is in God. That's my foundation today. That's where I put my trust. That's the substance of things hoped for. Then he said it's the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. Evidence. When I have some, when you bring forth the evidence, folks, it's something now that's been tried. It's been proven. And now I can believe it. It brings conviction in my heart in what is right and wrong. Now that I have the evidence and have faith in God, I now have a conviction in what is right and wrong. And then he said, of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen and of things hoped for. Folks, things hoped for is the future. Leave it to God. He's the only one that knows it. We don't, tomorrow, today, the rest of the day is uncertain to us. Things hoped for is the future. What's out there? Folks, I'm very curious about what heaven's going to be like. I'm very curious of what it's going to be like to be in the presence of God forever and ever and rejoicing with no impurities, no enemy, none of these things that we deal with in the world, no wickedness, no evil, no sin, and just being in the pure, holy presence of an almighty God. I'm curious. One of these days, my curiosity, this faith will be laid down and this curiosity will be satisfied. I want to know, by the grace, by the help of the Lord, I want to know what heaven's going to be like. Things hoped for is the future. I'm going to leave it to God. I may be curious about it, but I'm going to leave it to God because that's a safe place to leave it. And he says here, evidence of things not seen. I'm going to leave that to God too. Things not seen is the present realities that are unseen. Right now, the present realities that are unseen, leave it to God. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this and I'm going to ask God that. No, you're not. You'll be so happy to be in the presence of God and know that you made it by His grace. All these silly little questions that go through our minds here on this earth, we're not going to ask. We don't need to ask God. It'll be fulfilled when we get there. Those won't be questions to us anymore. Leave it to God. There are some things, and I'm still talking about curiosity, that God chooses to keep from our view. Be careful what you get curious about. I've sat around little Bible studies in saints' homes and stuff talking about what may be out there, how this may be, how that may be. Be careful. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but be careful how curious you get. Leave it to God. He's going to take care of it. Remember his ways and his thoughts? They're higher than ours. They're higher than ours. God alone knows just how much knowledge that the soul needs. He knows just how much knowledge that we need to our perfection and increasing happiness. He knows how to bring us to that place if we keep our affections and our curiosities where they need to be. Keep them governed by the Spirit of God. Let Him have control of your heart and of your life and of your desires. No matter how curious that we become, and we're curious people, faith leaves all matters to God. Leaves it all to God. Lord, I trust you. I don't know how this is going to come out. I still remember that night laying in bed when my body, when I finished convulsing there and I was so sick and filled up with fluid, I still remember raising my arms to heaven and said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. Don't know, but you do. But I'm going to trust you. That's been a long time ago. That's about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago. I don't know whether I'm going to live or die. Folks, we don't know. But faith tells me, leave it to Him. He's well able, isn't He? He's well able to bring you and I through. So may the Lord help us to know how to deal with our curiosities a little bit more. Keep them in check. Don't let them get you out of control. Don't let them pull you in places where you may be deceived. Keep your eyes on Jesus and love the truth with all of your heart. Amen.